lot of things about Paul Heyman I respect, and blow things up and start from scratch, or do radical changes, and now is the time. That resonates with me right now, and that's been my thought when I've been watching the show. I even talked about it when I on the Raw update yesterday before Heyman's article came out. Let's just get away from main event matches, get back to squash matches, get back to personality-driven shows. I don't want to throw a few talking points out or bullet points and not elaborate on what I'm saying, because I do want to come out with an audio update and or a feature editorial and kind of lay out some possible big things, and I also want to pay close attention to what Heyman said. But in general, we are kind of at that point where things can get really exciting, because the time may come where the risk of experimenting is less than it is when things are good. I mean, we've been drawing 3.5, 3.8, occasionally 4.0, 4.2 ratings. Even if people say, you're kind of stale and you're doing this wrong, and why is Triple H squashing these guys 2-on-1? That doesn't help the business. And, you know, it's easy to say, you know what? It's working. We're not going to mess with it, even if we're doing something wrong. Now it's easier to mess with. It's kind of like we got nothing to lose. And it's getting to that point that there's a lot less to lose by experimenting a little bit and changing things up. And I think TNA is in that same position. If their rating doesn't, and we'll find out tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's a huge night for TNA. Live from Las Vegas, Mick Foley's firmly established on the roster. You've got a storyline with Foley and Jarrett. Gee, how did Jarrett end up getting involved with Foley? What are the odds of Jeff Jarrett coming back just in time for Mick Foley signing to rub shoulders with him? Funny how that worked out. But you know, it is a time where TNA bookers have to deliver. And Mick Foley, in an article that I'll talk about in a minute, had relatively faint praise for Russo. I think that, you know, with tension between Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter lately, with Vince Russo getting a hands-off, long-term chance, which is what he always wanted, and he's gotten it. And it is a show that just, I mean, there's some defenders out there, because there's things that the show has that are good. There really are. But people who like the show like those things and aren't bothered by the negatives. But they're in the minority. There's not enough people out there who like what's good about Impact, but aren't bothered by what's horrible. And there's a lot of people out there who are really bothered by what's bad about the show, and it overrides what's good. And then there's other people who just don't like anything about the show. They need to get a booking scheme where they take advantage of this talent and get it booked in a way that appeals to a wider range of people. And there are some pretty obvious things to try. Pretty obvious things to try out there if you're the least bit competent, a student of history of this industry, and have a booking mind and can, you know, present some new ideas within the framework and context of things that actually historically worked in and understand the context in which they worked and understand the differences in today versus then, apply the things that work and discard the things that don't. And this booking team does not have the booking acumen to do that. They just do not. And if the ratings go up this week with the live Vegas show and all the hype and all that, they're going to get a reprieve. But if not, it really is time to take a hard look if you're Dixie Carter at some changes. It really is. Now, is Dixie Carter wise enough to the business to understand who to bring in or what changes to make? I don't know. You know, that's the tough part about having an executive without a long history in the business. Someone who wasn't convinced to buy wrestling tickets. I always say that, and I think it's really important for good bookers. That, you know, Jim Cornette, Paul Heyman, Eddie Gilbert, there are people out there. Eddie Gilbert's less of an example. Cornette and Heyman, Bill Watts, they're the bookers who had really good stretches of time are the ones who had to be talked into buying their first wrestling ticket. They weren't born into the business. And I think there's something about being introduced into the business, not as a fan, but as a businessman, or being a second or third generation wrestler, where whether you're Stephanie or Jeff Jarrett or whomever, there's some flaws in your booking. I think you had to have been talked into buying a ticket by a promoter in order to relate later on into how to present wrestling in a way that would get today's fans and talk them into buying a ticket. That's an experience that's a really core experience that's hard to replace. And that's the move that I would make if I were them. And I don't know what options are out there. I think there should be a lot of options. But I don't know what they'll consider. How's the economy going to affect wrestling? Let's jump to that subject. We ran a poll on pwtorch.com. Not a ton of responses so far, but what we do have so far, indicates that pay-per-views could take a hit. 35% said they don't spend any money on wrestling, so they're not going to cut back. They have nothing to cut back on. 22% of the remaining two-thirds said they're doing just fine. They're not going to change their habits. Whether they spend money on wrestling or not, everything's going to be the same. Among the rest, 33%, half of those who spend money on wrestling say they're cutting back. 18% said they're going to cut back on a variety of things, pay-per-views, tickets, merchandise. 15% said they're going to order fewer pay-per-views. That's half of the people who say they're spending money on wrestling right now who answered this poll. It's not scientific. It is what it is. But it's a talking point. It's a discussion starter. Half of the people who visit a website are passionate enough to be regular visitors to PWTorch.com, not just getting pay-per-view results, but show up on a Tuesday or a Wednesday to vote. Half of those people say they're cutting back. That's going to hit wrestling if this economy stays the way it is. Only 5% said wrestling is enough of a priority, I'm going to cut back elsewhere. And not when it comes to wrestling. So wrestling promoters, I would say, need to be cognizant of that and make sure the product is better than ever. And, you know, there's not wiggle room to make mistakes or follow proven bankrupt approaches and thinking that that's okay. Mick Foley, let's talk about him. He's been a friend of the Torch over the years, and I wrote that in today's PW Torch Today Bulletin. I want to talk about some of the things I wrote about in the PDF Bulletin today, but also expand on it a little bit. He's been a friend of the Torch, and I say that because I respect Mick Foley in many ways. This is not somebody who had nothing out for the business, got dropped in by being a second-generation wrestler, felt he was, you know, was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. That's not Mick Foley's position at all. Mick Foley worked hard and sacrificed and worked smart to get to where he is and where he's been. I mean, he's been a friend of the Torch. He impressed me early on. He was one of the best early Torch Talk subjects. Two good Torch Talks with Foley in the Torch Talk library. Fascinating to read in retrospect. And also 5 years ago, I interviewed him about Tia Tim Brown and his first book. And I remember at the end of that interview, he just off record, I think it was after the interview ended, he just said, "Wade, thank you. Nobody's who's interviewed me has spent as much time talking about the book," which is what this interview was about, to promote the book. He was really proud of it. He wanted to talk about it. And he was thankful for that. Everyone else was asking about, I mean, I asked about other stuff too, but I read the book and asked good questions. He was appreciative of it. I can have a good discussion with Mick Foley. He's a smart, intelligent guy. That's what makes me all the more frustrated by what he's been doing lately. And I don't say this lightly, but Mick Foley's become bad for pro wrestling. He's become bad for the business. He also seems completely absorbed in some ego-based, legacy-obsessed universe that's disconnected from what the Foley of the early 90s that I knew would identify with. And it's been a gradual process. Most of my disappointment comes from his flippant use of his head as a landing pad for stiff chair shots. What's worse is when they aren't sold, when they serve no purpose. What's horrible is when they're framed afterwards as part of a, quote, fun night. You shouldn't get hit in the head flush and no-sell it. You shouldn't get hit in the head flush and then refer to it on your next TV appearance as a fun night. Getting hit in the head should be devastating. I remember Mick Foley in an early Torch Talk saying he was upset at Tony Schiavone. Upset at Tony Schiavone for saying when he would do the elbow drop off the ring apron, "Mick Foley likes pain." Mick said, "I didn't tell Tony to say that. My character doesn't like pain. My character feels pain. I don't want viewers to think when I land it doesn't hurt and that I enjoy the pain. I want them to think I'm suffering in order to try to win a match with this lousy body God gave me and the lousy athletic skills that I have. I'm willing to go further and sacrifice myself to win, but I want fans to think it is a sacrifice and it hurts." He was upset at Tony Schiavone for it. He's completely become worse than Tony Schiavone when it comes to that. He didn't sell the chair shot to the head. He was in there doing a mandible claw a minute later, and then he talks on Impact last week about what a fun night it was. It's when you do that, it has a lot of ramifications. And it's the latest evidence of Mick Foley's disappointing approach to the business. And his interview with Newsday that came out today, Alfonso Castillo, a friend of the Torch also, Torch read over the years, and a good mainstream reporter on wrestling, he posted extended highlights, or he sent us extended highlights, which we printed, of his article in Newsday today. You can find that on the main listing near the top. Some things I didn't like, and just a few random thoughts. He said regarding the Hall of Fame that it's a place where a lot of guys go for healing. And I'm a little disappointed in this. I'm not surprised, but I'm a little disappointed that now that Foley has hurt his chances of ever getting into the Hall of Fame, now he's kind of demeaning it a little bit. And I don't like that. Even if it's true, even if he doesn't think much of the Hall of Fame, I don't think it's sort of like somebody who really wants to win an award, and then when they don't win it, they say, "That award's worth nothing." You know, whoever loses a presidential election, they fight really hard for a long time for it, and then they lose, and they go out there, and they go, didn't really want the job anyway, it's a lousy job. I mean, you don't respect people who do that. So Mick Foley's asked about the Hall of Fame, instead of saying, hey, you know what, Hall of Fame is political, but it's a really great night for people, but I had to do what's right for me now, what's right for me and my family, and if I never get in the Hall of Fame because of it, I'm willing to live with it. I mean, why is that so hard? But instead, he kind of demeaned it, and like I said, even if it's his genuine feelings, it comes off as petty in this context and time frame doing that. He basically said the Hall of Fame is ego-stroking for damaged people who need a little self-esteem boost. It was condescending. And I just thought kind of beneath him to do that. I didn't like it. I don't think, and I certainly don't think it's true for high-profile inductees, which he would be. I don't think it's a place for healing. Regarding the chair shot he took from Kurt Angle, he was asked about it. I credit Alfonso for bringing it up. He said that he didn't know Kurt, quote, was going to be quite that angry. And it's like, come on. Do we really, you've written three books talking openly about the business. You're talking to a reporter who writes about wrestling as if it's a business and an entertainment, not legitimate competition. And now you're going to say your decision not to put your hands up to block that chair shot has to do with how angry Kurt Angle was? I mean, it's just lame. I mean, take responsibility for your actions, and don't go into kayfabe mode. All right, that concludes the 5-minute free clip of today's VIP audio show. If you're interested in having access to the complete audio shows that run between 10 minutes up to sometimes an hour, 15 minutes each, just click on the VIP sign-up info button in the upper left corner of the screen at pwtorch.com on any page, right under our logo, and you can get more details on all the features you get with a VIP membership, including around 50 VIP exclusive audio shows per month, start to finish, along with a lot more ad-free access to the site, the PW Torch Today PDF bulletins that come out most days that I write with the breaking news and analysis, and so much more. Hundreds of back issues from the Torch newsletter, both in text and PDF format now, and a lot more. Just check out the whole list of VIP features. It costs $7.50 per month to become a member. It is cheaper if you subscribe for longer term. And we also have an availability of paper copy subscriptions to the Torch newsletter where you can have it delivered to your doorstep. All 16 pages every week with news, analysis, exclusive columns, interviews, and more. And with the newsletter subscription, it's about 75 cents more per week to get the newsletter delivered to your home. But you get all the other online VIP benefits along with that. So basically, it's just cost of postage and printing we pass along to you. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to us either way which option you choose. But if you'd like to get that 16-page paper copy delivered to your door, you might want to check out that option. Otherwise, you can go with the eSub option, and I hope you'll maybe give us a try for 1 month and see what it's like to have access to the complete VIP audio shows every single day. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, on behalf of the entire Torch staff, I thank you for listening, and I sign off.